church, I'm looking to see, oh, my goodness, I think it says 16 degrees. Wow, we finally got above zero. And I text my family this morning in Florida at -2, and they said, holy cow, it's 47 here this morning, and we thought that was cold. And then my other cousin said it's to be 72 in Fort Myers, Florida today. So, you know, we just have this thing when it gets super cold like that, we just email and text some pictures back and forth as to what the temperatures are. But what a joy it is on this cold morning to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating gifts and blessings from Almighty God. And indeed, as we worship together, may the peace of Christ be with you. And let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. We offer a warm welcome to all those who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting with us today, please make sure to take a welcome packet from the shepherd's crook out in the narthex near the entrance to the sanctuary. As I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad and pass it to each person in the pew and then pass it back to the center. If you notice that someone who is normally here that sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. If you have any prayer requests or concerns or joys that you wish to share, you can write them down on one of the prayer request cards in the attendance folders and place them at the holders at the end of the pews for sharing at the joys and concerns. At this time, we come to the partner service when we talk about things that are going on in the church, things that are important in in the life of our church, and we have a few announcements. So I'm going to start with Diane.
I'm happy to say that the Lord wants us to do the Living Last Supper. We got our last two actors on Wednesday. At one point, I had a pair and a spare. But we have enough to do the show. So the yard signs are actually in the narthex today. Right as you come up the doors from the parking lot, you'll see them there. Please take them, put them out in your own yard, or if you have other places you've been putting them, just remember to ask permission of the property owners. And also, it's always best to put them closer to an intersection where people have to slow down, that they might more likely see the sign if they're stopped at a stoplight or a stop sign. Again, I want to thank you for your prayers and all of those who were looking for actors, and it's a go. Thank you.
Mike?
Hi. For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Mike, and the reason I'm here this morning is because at the last Methodist men's meeting, they were foolish enough to elect me as president of the United Methodist Men's. So, what I would like to call your attention to is if you would open your bulletin right in the centerfold. I mean, we get top billing around here. There is an announcement about the United Methodist Men's, about an upcoming meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. When I was elected as president, I said, well, what am I supposed to do? They said, well, you have a meeting every once in a while, but you have to have something to eat, cake, pie, and coffee. I mean, that was the only stipulation that I was told I had to do. So one night, about a month ago, I was laying in bed. Normally, I go to sleep. I don't wake up till morning. I don't know if it was the garlic sticks from Olive Garden or what, but I woke up in the middle of the night and just couldn't sleep. And the Lord kind of impressed upon my heart that maybe we as men need to have a little bit of more fellowship time. So what I want to do in our monthly meetings, as you notice I said monthly, well, I want to have meetings on the third Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock. We'll have our regular business meeting. We'll have our cake pie, of course. And what I would like to do is also have a little time of devotion or sharing or just to kind of get to know one another a little bit better. So for the topic that I've picked for this Wednesday's meeting is the things that I taught my dog taught me. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see what I mean. We, as men, think we can teach our dogs, we teach them everything, but in essence, it's really our dogs teach us a lot more than we ever teach them. Now, I'm not a hater. I like cats. I've had several cats in my lifetime, but cats are more like we are and not what we really should be. I'll give you an example. You come home from work, there's your cat curled up on your ottoman. Now, the cat knows he's not allowed on the ottoman, but he's there anyway. He kind of like opens one eye and says, huh, it's about time you get home. I'm hungry. Go feed me. So the cat jumps down, looks at you and said, well, let's kick on. Here, why don't you pet my back a little bit, and then maybe I'd get some motivation. But don't go near the tail, because if you touch me by the tail, I'm going to turn around and swat you one. So, okay. And if you don't feed him right away, the next time you get up, the cat is right there, twisted around your feet so you trip and fall. Just a gentle reminder of your cat. So you finally give in, feed the cat. After he's done eating, he turns around and said, I'm going to go up and lay on your pillow. Oh, and by the way, the litter box needs changed. And the cat disappears, never see him again. The dog, on the other hand, you come home from work, the dog greets you at the door. Hi, 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 I'm glad you're home, glad you're home. Did you have a good day? Here's your pillow, here's your slippers. Can I get your paper? Why don't you go sit down and rest a while? Oh, and by the way, I've been cooped up all day, and I really have to go to the bathroom, but that's okay. You can just sit down and relax first. I'll wait, no problem. So, that's the difference between cats and dogs. Also, if you spell cat backwards, you get tack. You spell dog backwards, you get God. So I think there's a meaning behind that. There are some things that we can learn from God through our pets. So if you've had a dog, you would like to have a dog. If you've been a dog in a former life, or if you want to come back and be a dog, this meeting, I think you'll get something out of it. So if you've taught your dog how to sing, dance, count, clean your beard when you get cookie crumbs in it, whatever, come on out this Wednesday night and we'll talk about our dogs and maybe learn a bit about God too. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? There are a couple of things to note in your bulletin. From what I see, there was a change for the Camp Sunday. It's going to be on March 13th now, so remember to wear your camp clothes. There's information in there about the Rick Sims Memorial Work Trip, the Living Last Supper, Mike's meeting, the ministry teams, all kinds of different things that are going on in the church. So please make sure that you read through it and hang on to it so you can keep fresh the things that you can be involved in the church. At this point in time, we're going to continue on.
Thank you.
During the weeks before Christmas, we celebrate the anticipation of the coming of the Christ child with candles. One by one during Advent, we light the candles of peace, hope, joy, and love. All in preparation for the beginning of Christ's life on earth. And all of this comes together on Christmas Day. It's a holy day when we light the Christ candle itself. And it represents the light of Christ shining in the world, living in our midst, coming forth to save us, and inviting us into its warmth. Advent is a joyous season. Today we are beginning another season, the season of Lent. Lent is that season before Easter. It is in some ways the opposite of Advent. It is a somber season. It is a time of preparation for the coming of Christ's Passion Week. And so during Lent, we tune in to the dark days that got darker and darker and even darker as it ended in Christ's death.
I am Philip. I remember that those were days of suffering and rejection, of conflict and betrayal. They were days that ended with the extinguishing of the light of the Christ candle that was lit at Christmas. We know now that Christ's light would be rekindled and lit again in each of us. But in these coming weeks, let us tune in to the darkening days of Lent as we, one by one, extinguish these candles set before us until on Good Friday, the flame on the Christ candle dies.
Let us all now stand and join in the call to worship. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord,
"You are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God and my trust."
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High will be your dwelling place. Those who love the Lord, God will deliver. God protects those who know the name of the Lord. God saves them and honors them in times of trouble. Let us pray. In the quiet of this moment, in the stillness of this place, draw near to us, O God, as we seek the shelter of your refuge, as we celebrate the bounty of your provision. Hearken to our need, Holy One. Transform this time and place into our land of milk and honey, a land where you are among us, a land where you, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm protect us, a land where you alone are worthy of our worship and service. We ask this in the saving name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now let us join and sing Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. How's everyone today? Cold?
Yes.
It's a little chilly outside, isn't it? You like it cold. Better than the hot? I think I do. No, you like it warm? Yeah. So, what does the word temptation mean? Anybody have an idea? Have you ever been tempted to do something? Not sure? Yeah. Have you ever been tempted? Temptation is, there's a plate of cookies, but I haven't had my dinner. Are you allowed to have a cookie before dinner? Darn. Oh, would you like a cookie before dinner? Yes. Have you ever taken a cookie before dinner? Yes. No. Oh, I'll bet I have. Yes, you have too? Okay. Yeah, I've done that before. And did I get in trouble? Yes. Uh-huh. Temptation is doing what we know we're not supposed to do. We're tempted to do something. And that's not doing what's right. Yeah. And do you think Jesus was ever tempted?
Yes,
he was. And we're going to read about that today. Did you learn about that today?
No.
No, but you just know the story. Yeah. A while ago. Who tempted him?
Satan did,
yes.
All them Santa. Because if you switch some of the letters.
I learned that. If you spell Satan backwards, you get Santa. Who thought that gorgeous thing up, huh? Yeah. That was what? Oh, the Sunday school class came up with that. Okay.
A, B, after the N.
Santa. Oh, yes. Yes. All right. So, Santa. Yes. So we should, temptation can get us into trouble. And when we have God with us, because Jesus, we know, when he was tempted, he referred to the Bible. And he quoted scripture, and that gave him strength, and he did not give in to the temptation. He didn't do what he was asked to do. He stayed strong and did what God wants him to do. And so we need to remember every day that God is with us, that Jesus is with us, and that we have the strength through God that when we think maybe we're going to do what we're not supposed to, no. God is with us to give us that strength not to do that. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for these boys and girls. And oh, we know what it's like to be tempted to do what we're not supposed to do, but you can strengthen each of us every day so that we will always do what you want us to do. Bless these boys and girls, their moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, everyone that cares for them, for we pray that they might live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful job. Today's scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land and that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house."
If you look down front here, you will see that the knitters and crocheters have been very busy. There's a multitude of prayer shawls of multiple colors, little hats for little newborns, with and without little tassels. And there are also new additions of what are called pocket prayer shawls. This is a pocket prayer shawl knitted or crocheted with prayers and peaceful thoughts. May you find God's warmth as you hold it in your hand. And these are designed to keep with you either in your pocket or your purse, just to know and be reminded that people have been and are praying for you in situations that you are dealing with on an everyday life and living. These prayer shawls are here for the taking and for the giving. They don't need to be members in this congregation that receive them. They're just here to be given out into the community or your places of work. If you know that there are individuals that need to be held up in prayer. There are some color on the tags. There's a back that says what the different colors represent within the kingdom of God. And so you can look at some of those and see how those fit in perhaps with the situation that your acquaintance or the receiver is dealing with. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we pray and dedicate these items. Gracious and loving God, there's hours of work represented here by fingers and hands. Hours of thoughts and prayers have gone up to you and in their creation. And there are those, O God, out in the community that need to experience and to feel your presence, your healing power, your peace, your grace, and your forgiveness. Oh God, you already know where these prayer shawls and blankets, these infant hats and these pocket prayer shawls will go and who's going to hold them. Oh God, may they feel your healing power and presence. May they be nurtured by your Spirit and knowing that they are not alone. Knowing that your healing presence and prayers rest upon them. And might they know, O God, that within your hands and your arms, that indeed all is well. Continue, O God, to bless this ministry as it reaches out from within the walls of this church, out into the community and your kingdom. For it is in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen. I would invite you now to turn in the front of your hymnals to number 143 as we sing together On Eagle's Wings. On Eagle's Wings.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
That made him cry. He gave his life so you would understand. Is there any way you could say no to this man? If Christ himself were standing here, his face full of glory, and his eyes full of tears, and he held out his arms, the nail-printed hands. Is there any way you could say no to this man? Could you tell him you're not ready to give him your life? Could you say you don't think you need his love? Jesus is here with his arms open wide. You will see him with your heart when you stop looking with your eyes. He's left it up to you. He's done all he can. Is there any way you could say no to this man? How could you look in his tear-stained eyes, knowing it's you? Could you tell him you're not ready to give him your life? Could you say you don't think you need his love? Thorns on his head, your life is in his hands. Is there any way you could say no to this man? Could say no to this man.
come to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you look on the back of our worship folder this morning, you see our prayer list there. To the best of my knowledge, we do not have anyone in the hospital at this time. This past week, Terry was in overnight, had some procedure done on his back, and is now home in that process of recuperation. Those individuals there, we, I'm sure, will continue to covet your prayers, as well as those situations that surround us. You know, we've some of us were up north yesterday. We were trying to get, some of us were trying to get to a track meet at Edinburgh, but the snow had other plans, or God had other plans. Edinburgh got about 18 inches yesterday. We got waylaid as the van from Pen Trafford, the driver got sick with vertigo, and fortunately our paths crossed. And I was able to drive the van and get the kids to a McDonald's, where we waited for about 3 or 4 hours till the school administrator got there, the athletic director, and he took the kids home. And Leanna, Abby, and I came home in the middle of that snowstorm. Once we hit 80, it cleared up, but there had been, a 30-car pileup on 80, where three individuals were killed, and just a multitude of injuries that took place as well. So there are individuals. I can hope that that storm stopped up north. My brother and sister sent me a picture yesterday on my phone that said the weather people told them to stay in. They decided to go to Clymer, New York, Peak and Peak, and they were skiing, having the time of their lives in fresh powder. And so they're home safely as well. I guess some of us don't always know best when to come in from the cold. So there are those individuals that are shoveling and dealing with more snow than we want to think about, and the loss of loved ones, and some people that are probably pretty stiff and sore. And I don't know whether the coach got home from the hospital. He was taken to the Meadville Hospital. Hopefully he has arrived home safely and is recuperating as well. Let alone those multitude of individuals that you just turn the news on from around the world, where, you know, still picking up pieces from earthquakes and floods and fires, you name it. But let us remember those people that need to experience the grace and forgiveness and the comfort that can only come through God. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits now as we sing together our prayer hymn, number 269, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be in a warm place, a warm home. A place, O God, where the storms that are raging around us and within us can subside. For it is here, O God, that we can focus upon your holy presence, your grace and your forgiveness, your love, the words and the teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sustaining power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, it is good to be in your house and your home this day. We pray, oh God, that as we live out our lives, that we might bring honor and glory to you and to your kingdom. For you have blessed and empowered and anointed each and every one of us to live lives that become the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lives that are engaged with people. You call us to live lives that change and transform those lives around us. You call us, O God, to be open and receptive to that change and transformation ourselves. O God, you call us and bless us to be your people. We pray that we will be faithful. We pray, O God, that temptations will not get in the way of who it is that we are to be. Oh God, just as your Son, Jesus Christ, was faithful to you, and in his humanness was triumphant over these temptations, oh God, we pray that we will have the strength and the confidence, the ability to respond as he did. And to use Scripture as well as he did also. Oh God, we come together today, mindful of those that need to be lifted up in prayer. The names of individuals upon our prayer list, the names of individuals upon our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that cannot be made public, the situations of our hearts. Oh God, hear the prayers of your people and begin to work your wonders within them as we read about your wonders working in the lives of others in the past. We have that confidence, oh God, knowing of those wonders you will work in the days ahead. Oh God, we pray for the mission and ministry of each individual and family that is represented here today. We pray for those sitting on our left and those sitting on our right, those in front of us, those behind us, those, O God, who are absent, those, O God, for those spaces that are empty. O God, we pray that as you send us forth into the world, that you might continue to bless us and use us wherever we are found. That the light of Christ might shine and radiate forth from within us, that others might see and experience the presence of Christ within seconds of interacting and meeting each of us. Oh God, may we continue our journey through this Lenten season, having that assurance that you are always there and that we are never alone. For we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture from Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1, I would invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit. Hear these words that Luke writes. Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, Jesus was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all their glory and all their authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture and for their claim upon our daily lives and living. Give us now, O God, a sense of rest and peace and comfort from the activities of our daily lives in living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. I'm looking for Mike. Where'd he go?
He's probably lurking in the hallway.
See Mike in the hallway somewhere that was talking about the United Methodist men. I start out talking about cats today. You cannot, and I've had some couple people come up and tell me that Mythbusters has, they agree, you cannot herd cats. Somebody last night said to me at the Saturday night service, "Did you say hurt?" I said, "No, not hurt. Anybody can hurt, H-U-R-T, a cat, but you cannot herd cats. It just doesn't work." And what many poultry farmers will tell you is that it's also extremely difficult to herd chickens as well. I grew up with chickens. I've raised chickens, and I remember one time I needed to do something in the chicken coop and the run that we had, and I was getting ready to get in there to move the chickens from point A to point B, and my older brother says to me, "Oh, David, I'll help you." And I'm thinking, you're backing that rooster into a corner. It's not a good thing to back a rooster into a corner, but they were my chickens. He thought he knew more, so I stayed back. Now, mind you, my rooster, the one I had at this time, was a little banty rooster, need I say much more, whose name was Peck, need I say any more. So my brother proceeded to inch closer and closer, pushing this little rooster farther and farther into the corner until Peck had had enough, and he came out at my brother, flapping and flogging with spurs about an inch and a half long, and my brother backed off like I've never seen him back off before and had some marks on him. Don't back chickens into corners and don't try to herd them. It won't work. Pigs are no problem. Cattle are quite cooperative when herding them. But chickens, they won't even cross the other side of the road. Well, you know the rest of that story. And so to deal with these chickens that need at times in their lives, well, especially at the end of their lives, to go from place A over to place B, that's been a little bit of a problem. There have been over the years what are called chicken catchers that would be released into the cages, the pens, to corner and catch some 8 million birds a year. But with these flapping birds holding onto their legs, individuals, well, they were just quite beat up at the end of the day, and they probably preferred working at a toxic waste facility. At one point, there was even this device made with a tube on it that had a very strong vacuum. But they decided that wasn't the best item to use as well. And so finally, this unit was designed that was able to transport very gently chickens from point A up a conveyor belt to point B, and when they were arriving at point B, they were put into these little cages where they were contained. Kind of looked like one of those airport cargo delivery ramps, mechanical ramp, conveyor belt, chutes, nets, cages, painlessly transporting the chickens from one place to the other. Now let's face it, most of us have never ever had to worry about catching a chicken. The pieces of poultry that we grab are very easy to grab because they're on the shelf at the grocery store on a piece of styrofoam wrapped in cellophane. But there are certainly some little pesky creatures in our lives that we have a very difficult time capturing, controlling, and subduing. And those little pesky creatures are called temptations. The problem with temptations is they can be difficult to grab a hold of. They're tough sometimes to grab hold of. They're tough to control them and get them caged and put away where they can't come at us anymore. There's nothing wrong with eating good food, but sometimes we just take a little more than we should. There's nothing evil about achievement in the marketplace, but we may fall quickly into destructive ambition and self-gratification, and sometimes ethics are the first casualty of our success. Fortunately for us, Jesus gives us a lesson today about controlling temptation from Luke's gospel. We're told that right after Jesus' baptism, that he is filled with the Spirit, that he is empowered by God, and he is sent into the wilderness for these 40 days of this temptation, this trial. And in his first temptation, that flopping chicken, if it were, he's told and challenged at the end of 40 days when he is famished to turn this rock into a loaf of bread. Jesus was hungry. And yet Scripture flashed in his mind and he says, yes, but the Scriptures say that one does not live by bread alone. Jesus knew about God's presence of providing for people. Jesus knew about God providing for the Israelite nation millions of people in the wilderness for 40 years of quail in the evening and manna in the morning. Jesus' hunger was nothing for God to deal with. It would be taken care of, but Jesus was to worry about others first and not himself first. So Jesus quotes the Scripture, and they move on to temptation number two. The temptation of ambition. Hey, Jesus, look at all this. Look at all these people. Look at all these kingdoms of the world. I'll give them all to you. All you need to do is bend down on a knee and, you know, just worship me a little bit. It's no big deal. And then you can have it all. Jesus says, you know, it's also written, worship the Lord your God and only God. There's nothing in this world that is worth abandoning God. And so then the third one is fast on the tails. The final test involves God. The devil takes Jesus to the top of the temple and invites Jesus to take a flying leap. Do you notice that at this point now the devil's getting perhaps a little frustrated, and so the devil quotes Scripture? Hey, Jesus, why don't you take a test here and jump off? You know, the Scriptures say that God's angels will protect you. You won't hit the ground. You won't even bruise your little toe. You'll be cared for. Come on, show me. Do it. And Jesus says you should not test the Lord your God. Do we ever seek to test God? Oh, as I was driving down the interstate yesterday, I just have this thing in my mind that when the roads are bad, if anybody's driving faster than I am, that they're stupid. And so when these vehicles were passing me, you know, what, you trying to test God to see if your airbag works? Slow down a little bit. Take your time. Driving while texting? Did you ever go, oh, I wanted to watch my favorite show last night. I didn't study for my test. Oh, God, please get me through this exam. I said to one of Abigail's teachers last night, any tests coming up this week? She said, yeah, Friday. Thank you very much. Do we ever test God by abusing drugs or alcohol, running around hoping that, well, we just won't get caught living out our daily lives and living in perhaps self-destructive ways? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And that's the final technique that Jesus used by once again quoting Scripture to finally put all of these temptations, this final chicken, as it were, in the cage where it's done with, it's put away, we're finished. And that's the approach that Jesus recommends for us as well. Take that temptation, place it in a cage, put it where it can't harm us or tempt us anymore, and life moves on. Now, in the end, probably cats will never be herded. Chickens may remain terribly difficult to cage and hang on to. But to those who manage certain techniques, there's no better approach than dealing with the temptations of daily life and living than by relying upon Holy Scripture. Staying true to our Christian calling and refusing to put God to the test. Temptations may flap all around us. My friends, they cannot hurt us if we put them in a cage. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Jesus was gifted at putting those temptations, those problems, those issues of daily life in their place. And when he did so, people just backed away. Oh God, we pray that we might have that sense of keenness in our own daily lives and living to deal with temptations and the situations of our daily lives and living. Oh God, speak to us through your holy words. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our closing hymn, number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Nor my Lord.
Gracious and loving God, deep down in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, we believe in you. And we pray that as we live out our lives this week, that words of Scripture might come flooding upon our hearts, minds, and spirits when we are in those moments when we need to say to temptation, "Get behind me." Empower us, O God, with your words as we go into the world. In the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.